welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Title of today's message is Living a Life Worthy of the Gospel. No matter where you stand on what's going on in the world we're living in, it doesn't matter where you stand, you just better stand on the side of God. Amen. The devil's out there planting little seeds and lies and discontent and discord and strife. Don't take the bait. Live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, let's read what this says. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So if that verse isn't for right now, that we're supposed to be walking and bearing in love with one another and enduring to keep unity, people are not going to want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if our lives are not worthy, if we're talking bad, if we're backstabbing, if we're gossiping, if we're giving in to what we think we want to say with our flesh. We got to wake up every morning and put our flesh under control of the Spirit of God. Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, it says this, and he said, and this is Jesus, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humility is what's going to carry us, church, to live this life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Contrary to what the world thinks, humility reaps unbelievable benefits for the kingdom of God. It results in someone coming to Christ. It results in a self-evaluation. How many of us need some self-evaluation sometimes? It's a courageous act to be self-evaluate, to look in the mirror. But the Word of God says to use the Word of God like a mirror to self-evaluate. Humility results in conversion, assuring our entrance into heaven, and it results in healthy relationships because we're always putting others first before ourselves. We live in a selfie society. Yes or no? When we live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're living a life of humility, we put self aside and we say, I want what's best for someone else. And man, when you start to do that, the easier this comes to walk this life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what a real Christian should be. The next thing that Ephesians says, it says with all lowliness and gentleness. This means being kind and good, useful and helpful, gentle and sweet, considerate and gracious through all situations, no matter the circumstances. My mother will always say to me, be sweet, Paulie. But we have to walk in gentleness, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. Was Jesus gentle? There was times when people got him upset. He was gentle with them. He was gentle with the disciples a lot. So that could be like our kids, our spouse. Go in there living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus with gentleness and humility. And learn how to put Christ first and diffuse every situation and every conversation and everybody who's already loaded and waiting for you to come. What happens in the body of Christ and Christians is this, the devil wants to get us the strife, the discord, the unforgiveness, and all these little foxes in the camp trying to stop the signs and wonders and miracles and people walking in and receiving from Christ. If they walk in and they're feeling discord and strife and they're sitting next to someone who four seats over, they're not talking to each other and they're right in the middle of it. They can feel that. They can sense that. So it's up to us to move in gentleness and say, you know what? I'm not going to let this situation have a stronghold in my life anymore. I want to walk a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does he deserve it, church? Did he give his life that we can say, you know what? I am a part of the body of Christ. I want to live this life to the best of my ability. We're not perfect. There's issues we have to deal with. We have to move in gentleness. The next one, patience, it says. And this word denotes lenience, forbearance, fortitude, patience, endurance, long-suffering. It carries the idea of being able to endure persecution and ill treatment. So living a life worthy of the gospel requires some patience to deal with being ill-treated. Does the Bible say, as soon as you get saved, no one ever is mean to you ever again? That's not true. In fact, it most likely most of the time will get worse. There's many characters and stories in the Bible where they, people were doing exactly what God told them to do, thrown in jail, beaten, put in chains, shipwrecked. Okay, there's a lot of things that come against us, but if we're moving with patience and understand that they're going to come at us, we won't be so surprised. This describes a person who has the power to exercise revenge, but instead exercises restraint. We all have the power to get revenge, to get back at someone, but who ultimately takes care of that? God. He will not be mocked. He will take care of his people. Long-suffering never strikes back. When common sense tells us that when we are attacked, it's our right to retaliate. Anybody ever think that before? If you're living a life worthy of the gospel, that thought should come in this ear and go right out the other one. But when we let it rattle around in our head, like, I have a right to get this person back. You don't know what they did to me. I've been dealing with this for so many years. It's time for us in patience to let it go. God exercises long-suffering with us. Turn to 1 Timothy. And if you only get one thing out of this part about patience, understand that God is patient with us. Thank God he is. We serve a gracious God and a God that's patient with us. 1 Timothy 1:16. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So thank God, Jesus Christ shows all long-suffering as a pattern for those who believe in him for everlasting life. So there's a pattern of long-suffering. Why is there a pattern? Because we do things over and over again. Because we require God to be patient with us, for us to get through that hurdle, to get through that issue that we're having. So if we live in a life worthy of the gospel, patience has to be in the forefront, or it's not going to work. If you think you're going to try to live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not have patience, good luck. It's not going to work. And believe me, we all know this. The devil knows where we have issues with. Amen? And most of the reason is because we say it out of our mouth. Be careful what you say and how you say it. And when you say it, cover the words in the blood of Jesus. Say, God, forgive me. I didn't mean that. I'm going to be better at that. Be careful. We hear it all the time. What you confess, you're going to get what you confess. Start confessing good things over your life. Amen? The last one in this one is bearing with one another in love. And this love here means agape love. We know that's God's kind of love. It's a love that regardless of feelings, whether a person feels like loving or not, thank God, God showed agape love to us. Because I'm sure there was plenty of times as his son was going through the torment and the persecution that he could have said, is this really worth it for these people? Look at the track record. I destroyed them with the flood. They came back. They said they were going to be better. They didn't. Then I had to take out Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, you know, Abraham just begged me, don't kill everybody. And I did it. And guess what? We're back in the same spot again. But that agape love does not look at circumstances, does not keep track, does not keep a record of what's going on. We have to walk the same way. If you want to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when something bad happens to you, fair and unfair, you need to give it to the Lord and move on. And remember what Christ did for us. And it's not easy. It's a love that even if a person doesn't deserve it, it's still given. Do we all deserve to be loved by where we've been and what we've done? Honestly, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody deserves salvation, but it was a free gift. And because of that free gift, we can have eternal life with our Lord and Savior. This carries the idea of persevering, tolerating, bearing with, putting up with, standing firm, not losing courage under pressure kind of love. Sometimes love puts us under pressure, but you got to push through it to live this life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's turn to look at a couple more scripture verses. That's just kind of our basis of how we can do that. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. And I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as heathen, the Gentiles do, in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their mind. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated and strained, and listen to this word, the Amplified says, self-banished. You know, the Bible says in James that who tempts us? The Lord doesn't tempt us. We do. We create problems in our own lives. This says right here, we are self-banished. by our choices and by our actions, not living a life worthy of gospel. Let's read on. From the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of our ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Verse 19, in their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their deprived desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learned Christ. Assuming that you have really heard from him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your perverse manner of life and becomes corrupt through the lust and desires that spring from delusion. Verse 23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. And I know that was a mouthful. I wanted to read it from the Amplified because there's a lot of nuggets in there. But what I want to talk about is verse 22, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring forth from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And here's the key, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. And the Lord gave me an example. Here's us and salvation. He's thrilled to do this, but he has no choice because he's my son. But this is us when we come to salvation. Pants match. I know mom picked it all out, guaranteed. This is what we look like when we come to salvation. In the spirit, all good, all nice, all match. We look really good. But before we came, you can put this on, and this signifies our old man. Doesn't fit right, doesn't look right, is cumbersome, is heavy. What does the Bible say about the burdens that we have? They're heavy. What kind of burdens does the Lord have? Light, easy. Why do we want to walk around with this? If I told Anthony to play lacrosse in this, he would get scored on every time. It's not right. It looks weird. It most likely feels weird. It looks ridiculous. But yet we want to go back and put our old self on when we want to give in to our former ways. But what's the word of God say? He says, strip it off, let it go, and put on the new. We're living for Christ. We're doing great. Church was awesome. Outstanding. We're doing, nah, you know what? I'd rather have the old one on. Going back to our old ways, taking the time to put it back on, doing the old thing, saying the old thing, not living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I got to put your glory back on. Your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. Oh, Thanksgiving's here. I can't stand my family. I know I'm already ready. They're going to be causing problems for me. It's a pain in the neck, right? Oh, forgive me, God. But that's what we do. We keep putting on the old self. We keep putting on the old ways. We keep going back to the same things. And if we want to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to put on the new and keep the new on.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus.